great question was asked in Matthew 22. And the question was asked to Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And the answer that was given to this man, that the greatest commandment in Matthew 22 and verse number 37 is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. We think about the great song that we sing at times. I know at camp it's often sung. The song is called Make Me a Servant. Make me a servant, Lord. Make me like you. For you are a servant. Make me one too. Make me a servant. Do what you must do. To make me a servant, make me like you. To love my brother, to serve like you do. I humble my spirit, I bow before you. And through my service, I'll be just like you. So make me a servant, make me like you. Open my hands, Lord, and teach me to share. Open my heart, Lord, and teach me to care. For service to others is service to you. Make me a servant. Make me like you. Think about that song, and I think about the most important asset we have is our heart. And have you ever dropped something and it was hard to reach it? I mean, you could see it, but it was hard to reach it. You ever drop something important? You try to stick your fingers or some type of apparatus through the cracks to get it, but you just couldn't get it. You could see it, but you just couldn't reach it. Reminds me of Luke 15, of the parable of the lost coin and the lost sheep. And the lost sons, two of them was because of neglect, and the other two were because of rebellion. You think about that, and you think about how our hearts, the seat of emotions, our thoughts, our will, our feelings, it's all about what's going on in our minds. Have you ever misplaced accidentally your heart, giving it to something, giving it to someone, maybe something material, something off limits, something that started off innocent but turned out to be dreadful, a job, sorrows, etc. Jesus told his disciples when their hearts were troubled, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You think about how important our heart is. Over 800 times in the Old Testament and New Testament, the phrase or the term heart is used. You think God was making a point? That is something about our heart. Something about our feelings, our emotions, our will, our intellect, our soul, that God definitely desires to have close to Him. So as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about how important our hearts are. In James chapter 4 and verse number 8, the Bible clearly teaches us to draw near unto God. He'll draw near unto you. You think about that very powerful passage there and how we need to consider drawing near to God with all of our heart. I venture to say that the trouble that we get in at times is when we don't give God 100% of our hearts. Anytime that God doesn't have all of our heart, We leave room for the evil one. We leave room for the adversary. We leave room for the devil to creep in and begin to corrupt and corrode our hearts. The very thing that God desires for us to protect, if we leave some type of crack, the evil one can come in with his influence through people, through the things we read, the things that we view, and can begin to corrupt our hearts. The Bible teaches us in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse number 7. When we consider that, and you remember it was Samuel who told Jesse to bring your sons. We're about to pick the second king over Israel. Remember, Saul had sinned against God, and now it was God who was ready to pick his king, a one who was after his own heart. And remember, Jesse brought all of his sons, and Samuel said, no, 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 no. I thought I told you to bring all of your sons. Well, I have one more, but he's just a Rudy boy. He's out there taking care of the sheep. Bring him here. He brought him here, and he says, anoint him king. That's the one that I look at. Why? Because God looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God peers into the hearts of men. I venture to say this, friends, that if anything, we can't hide nothing from God, Psalm 139. God knows our hearts, and what a beautiful thing. And really, when we lay ourselves bare open to God, he sees our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows our intentions. He knows our aspirations. The first time we read about the word heart, or the phrase heart, or the idea of a heart, is in verse 5 and 6. The Bible there teaches us that man's heart was on evil continually. His thoughts, his emotions, his will. He rose up thinking about things that were evil. He went to bed thinking about those things that were evil. I think, friends, when we consider this very important passage, that God wants us to be thinking on those things that are holy and righteous and just. It's something about man's heart. Jeremiah 17 and verse number 9, y'all stay with me. Here we find Jeremiah as he is prophesying to the people of God before they go into Babylonian captivity. He says something very interesting in Jeremiah 17 and verse number 9, that man's heart was evil. And we think about this, and we think about how man's heart is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? What's in our hearts? Why did God have to act so swiftly in Genesis chapter 6? Why did God have to act on what was going on in man's heart so fast? The reason why is because of Ecclesiastes 8 and verse number 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, then man's heart grows harder and harder. Why is God desiring to make sure that our hearts are right before him? It's because he wants us to be right in his sight. It's something about the hearts of men. Question, who has our heart? We have to ask ourselves, does God have our heart? In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23, as we peer into this just a little bit deeper, what does it mean to keep your heart, to keep your thoughts, to keep your mind? Proverbs 4 and verse number 23, guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now, I want us to illustrate this particular point in the New Testament real quick. Go to 1 John 5 and verse 18. 1 John 5 and verse 18, as we illustrate this point with John's words, notice what John here has to say. 1 John 5 and verse number 18. We know that whoever is born out of God does not sin, but he who has been born out of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. The word keeps He guards. It's a fortress. We have a responsibility to put a fortress around our hearts, around our thoughts, around our will, around our emotions. We have that responsibility. How? We do it with God's word. We do it with submission to God. Why do we want to do that? We want to do that because we want God to be in our hearts and nothing else. Friends, I know for a fact, and I speak from experience, that when you give your heart over to something or someone that you shouldn't give it over to, it can take a long time for you to come back around. Hence the reason we always have to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In Psalm 119 in verse number 11, how do we do this? We do it through spiritual education. In Psalm 119 and verse number 11, the Bible there clearly teaches us that we ought to be instructing our hearts, educating our hearts every single day, reading God's word every single day, submitting to the will of God every single day. Friends, this is not something that happens by accident. This is not something that you're going to do every now and then. This is something that we have to do intentionally, with righteous instruction, with moral conviction, and with spiritual concepts, that we think upon the word of God every single day, and then we intentionally apply it to our lives, which means that we involve ourselves in education, meditation, application, and then proclamation. That's what we want to do. I know for a fact one of the hardest things to do as a Christian is to keep your heart guarded from sin. This is why we have to always be doing our level best to meditate and to pray and to make sure that we are intentionally doing the will of God. This is not something that is accidental. People are not going to go to heaven by accident. We're not just going to fall up into heaven. Isn't it amazing that you don't accidentally go to hell either? So you don't accidentally go to heaven. And what a perfect opportunity that we have to come together and to hear the word of God and then to be reminded of the things that we read at home. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5. There the Bible clearly teaches us. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Meaning, test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you unless you are disqualified? Examine yourself. Really, you can examine you better than anyone else can. You know your heart. We should know our hearts. We know what's in our hearts, and really what is in our hearts is going to come out in our actions. God wants us to examine ourselves. How? You remember Luke 15, the prodigal son? We just kind of glanced over that. And you remember after he left his father's house, after getting his inheritance and going out and spending it on riotous living? Really, he was living a rebellious life against what he was taught, against his moral standards, all right? And as he finished off spending all that he had on riotous living, the Bible teaches us that he came to himself. And then he started talking to himself. Some of the best advice that I ever received was from my father-in-law about 19 years ago when I first got married. And he said, son, if you don't learn to talk to yourself, you will be destroyed. You know, he's right. You know, you can talk yourself into something wrong, but you can also talk to yourself into that which is righteous. The Bible clearly teaches us in Mark chapter 7 and verse number 14, I believe it is. Mark 7 verse 14, let me make sure that's right. Here we see that Jesus is speaking in Mark chapter 7. Let me make sure that that's right. And we find Jesus using the Greek word dialogamos. In Mark chapter 7 and verse number Where are we? I'm sorry, it is verse number 21. For from within, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Now notice, he says, proceed evil dialogues, thoughts, dialogamas. You know, we can conclude very safely that if a person can talk himself into doing that which is evil, the opposite has to be true. Isn't that right, Pope Joy? That means we can talk ourselves into doing that which is righteous, which is correct, which is honest. We know that we are to be a people that provide things honest in the sight of all men. We ought to do our level best to make sure that our hearts are right in every situation in life, whether publicly or privately, yea, both. And the reason why is because we want our hearts to be right. And every now and then when we find our hearts not being correct, not being righteous, not being upright, it causes our hearts to sink. Hopefully it does. Hopefully it causes us to go into weeping, into tears, into mourning. And even on our best day, when we go before God and we see how holy and righteous he is and how lowly we are, like Job 40 in verse number 4, him being vile, it causes us to weep in tears because we understand how holy he is and how vile we are at times. But praise be to God for the blood of Christ. And that we have an opportunity to think upon things that are holy and righteous. So how can I detoxify my heart from defilement? Friends, it only comes through submission to God. I'm reminded of an occasion of sin overtaking the life of a man. And his life did not get better until he submitted fully to God. His heart was aching him, asking me, how do I get over this? Have you repented? Yes. Have you forgiven yourself? Yes. But then now you got to submit wholly to God and know that he had the power to forgive you. Now forgive yourself. And at times in our lives, it doesn't matter how young we are or how old we may be. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is to forgive self. When we have made this serious infraction or encroachment upon God, it causes us to look at ourselves as nothing. Well, we are nothing at times, but we are all things or can be all things and do all things only through Christ. And sometimes when we sin against God and sin against our conscience, it causes us to go into a deep depression. And the only way to fix that is to turn wholly over to God. The only way to do so. But that may require 1 Corinthians 15:33, cutting some people off in your life. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 33, in the context of the gospel, there are some people that we need to cut all the way off. Evil communication corrupts. I know some versions say manners, but the correct translation is morals. Corrupt good morals. When your morals become corrupt, I'm not talking about corrupt to the point where you have fallen away from God, but I'm talking about corrupt to the point where you have allowed sin to enter into your life, not knowing how to deal with it, especially being a young Christian, being a young person, and when you don't know how to deal with it, what you do is you keep the shovel in your hand and you keep digging instead of throwing the shovel away. You know, it's said if you want to get out of debt, stop spending. Take the shovel out your hand. A lot of times what we do is we go getting more debt to try to get out of this debt. No, throw the shovel away. You know, same thing spiritually. Throw the shovel away. Lean on God. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 7, as we come to some type of close, I was thinking about this years back, the heart. Let me talk to the young people real quick, our young souls. There are some sins that you commit that you can get over pretty fast. And then there's other sins. Y'all look at me. Y'all hear me out. Hear me out. There's some sins that take you years to get over. And really, what the church is designed to do, what the pulpit is designed to do, what elders are, have been designed to do, what teachers are, have been designed to do, is to continue to educate you so you don't have to fall into something that may take you years to come out of, and some people never come out of it. The church has a responsibility, but you have a responsibility. That's why you have to guard your heart. You put a fortress around it. I venture to say some people have more protection on this, on their life, on their person than they do their soul. They have more insurance than assurance. And friends, it's about having assurance and watching what you allow to come into your heart. Galatians 5 and verse number 7, Paul, as he is talking to the brethren at Galatia, these brethren, they have obeyed the gospel. But unfortunately, they have allowed some false brethren to enter in and cause them to think something that the Apostle Paul did not teach them. That they needed to be circumcised and keep some tenets of the Mosaic system, the Mosaic law, in order to be saved and to remain saved. Paul said this, "You ran well." Notice he didn't say what hindered you. Who? And young people, a lot of times, it is who is hindering us, not necessarily what is hindering us. We have to guard our hearts. We have to watch who has our heart. And friends, I know for a fact if God can have our heart, there's nothing that we can't do that's going to please Him. We're going to please Him. And sometimes, you know, after you get through preaching, speaking, someone say, "Man, you stepped on my toes." I said, "I'm sorry, I disappointed you. I'm sorry, I failed you today." Well, why would you say that? I was aiming at your heart. Because if you can change a man's heart, if you can change a woman's heart, if you can change a girl's heart, if you can change a boy's heart, you can change the way they walk. You can change what they say. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who called you. A little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. Friends, it's all about our hearts. So how do we get this together? Some things that I wrote down. We get more involved with God and His people and His work. I truly believe that sometimes we lose our way. And Tay, don't lose your way. Stay close to God's people. Because we get out there by ourselves. And one thing we know about the wolf, we know about 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8, that roaring lion. We know that he's trying to devour us. But keep in mind, friends, that the evil one is not stupid. He's not ignorant. And he's not trying to take you all out at once. If he can get you and lure you a little bit today and a little bit tomorrow and a little bit the next day, in a week, in 2 weeks, in 2 months, in 3 months, in a year, he can have you so far away from God you wouldn't even think about God. So we stay close in fellowship and in study, in prayer and encouragement. This morning we talked about confession. Brethren, one of the most important things you can do as a Christian is confess sin. You get it out of you. Get it off of you. Clear your conscience. Why? Because God is faithful and just to forgive. And sometimes people are willing and wanting to do what's right, but just don't know how. The church, the body of Christ, is the greatest entity known to man. And the reason why, because you don't have to pay a person $100 an hour to come back to you. But you can come to the Lord's church when the church is doing exactly what God has ordained her to do and be made whole by the word of God. If men and women would come to preachers and elders and Christians who are striving to do what is right before God, we'll put all the shrinks, all of the counselors out of business. Why? Because that's the word of God. And the word of God, according to Matthew 4, verse number 10, is designed to make us whole. Designed to make us whole. Nothing wrong with that, baby. Do you want to be made whole? Sometimes I believe that people, even though they don't want to, for some reason, settle for half-baked lives. When God sent his son to make us whole, there's no reason for a child of God, once obeying the gospel, to ever be lost. No reason whatsoever. And every now and then our hearts, they become defiled and corrupt and tainted by sin and by people because of a lack of honesty and integrity. Watch your hearts. Be like David, a man after God's own heart. The heart of a servant is one that is convicted to teach others, to live according to the word of God, who desires to glorify God. Listen to this point here. In everything they do. Young people, you can't pick and choose what you want to glorify God in. God is not give me 90% and you can keep 10. God is 100% or nothing type God. That's who he is. And the beauty of God is that even when I mess up, I have that heart after God and I go to him in humble submission, confessing my fault before him, saying, I have sinned against you, really no longer worthy to be your servant, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I know I can come before you. Willing to endure, willing to look toward that eternal rest, willing to seek to build up the brethren, striving to be a blessing and not a curse, seeking to be as humble as possible that Christ may be seen living in them, the hope of glory. Friends, it's all about our hearts. So back to the question, Lord, what is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. How much of God's heart, how much of your heart does God have? And every single day, we could talk about the one church. We could talk about the Holy Spirit. We could talk about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We could talk about instrumental music. We can get all of that right and our hearts be bad and we'll be lost. But when a man's heart is right, when a woman's heart is right, and we begin to broach some of those subjects in the Bible, we will conform our will to his. Because it's all about doing what he has said. I'll leave you with this. How bad do you want to be like Jesus? Guard your heart. Watch what you allow into your heart. If you're not a child of God, we want you to come. We want you to think about being a child of God because it's all about cleansing your heart. Cleansing your conscience. Something that the blood of bulls and goats could never have done, Brother Hall. But only the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise be to God that he sent his only begotten son to cleanse our hearts from dead works, our conscience from dead works, to serve the living God. Praise be to God for that. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, and be buried in water for the remission of your sins. But maybe you're a child of God, and, well, you need to confess fault. You need to repent of sin. Maybe you have allowed something or someone in your heart that should not occupy that space. Only God should reign your heart as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.